To me, chaos is when things are so sideways that you start falling out of your window of tolerance and you really need to grab a hold of yourself to calm your nervous system. You know, you've just gotten a bad diagnosis for yourself or a loved one. Somebody has a car crash. You're whatever in the hospital, you get fired from your job, like the big life events, right? All of those things to me are chaos. And that's when I really need to regulate my nervous system and to pull myself back in from the edge and to ground myself. And that's what SNAP does.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I'm Timothy Maurice, your behavioral psychology author, and what a pleasure it is to bring you a conversation that I think will offer you so much value in the middle of your storms. I don't care who you are and where you come from, you will face moments where you're going to be expanded past what you think is your capacity. And sometimes our unconscious world becomes so disoriented and so inflamed that we do things without being aware. And so today I get a chance to bring you Julie Pottecker. She's an attorney, former practicing attorney, a mindfulness coach, and author of SNAP, From Chaos to Calm. Julie, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. So glad to be here.
I'm so delighted we finally get a chance to sit down. It's been an incredible couple of weeks, and I appreciate your extraordinary patience and your generosity of spirit. I can tell in your email exchanges, I can tell in New York, I can also tell in your writing. So thank you so much for being who you are beyond the writer and author of this book.
That's so sweet. You know, it's not easy being human. So, I'm glad to be human with you this morning.
Yes, thank you so much. So as we get into this conversation that's going to help people deal with anger, anxiety, grief, their inner critic, sadness, depression, political strife, disaster, and any sort of challenge you may face in a relationship where you just feel overwhelmed or you've got complexity happening in your career and you want to lash out at someone. Whatever it is, we're going to deal with that. But before we do, I have a fun feature called Inside Your Mind where we're going to ask you seven questions, either or type fun, coffee, tea type stuff. Can we go inside your mind, Julie?
Go for it.
All right, here we go. And let me just say this. I've had a number of guests try to sneak out of these questions and be slick. This is my 10th year doing this, Julie. So I will see you dancing through, your psychological tricks.
I'm really an open book.
Okay.
And
All
I
right, cool.
own my stuff and I really do walk my talk. So just, I'm putting in
Nice.
your hands, just take it.
Nice. All right, here we go. Number one. Thunder or lightning?
Lightning.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. And it's funny, I usually keep a complete open mind, but all right, meditation or prayer?
Meditation. It is prayer.
Yoga or Pilates?
Pilates.
Singing or dancing?
Oh, ouch. Ah. Well, I have issues with my feet. I love both. So I guess maybe singing, but I dance in the pool every day in the deep end with an aqua jogger belt. So I'm dancing.
Nice. I love it. I love it. And number five, which I think could be one of the most difficult questions. If it was posed to me, I'd find it difficult. Fireplace with a warm, hot drink or a hot beach with a cold drink?
Oh, come on. It depends how hot it is. Because I love a fireplace with a hot drink. And the beach is really my favorite place in the world. But
Okay, so it's the
if
beach.
it's too hot at the beach, forget it.
Okay. Let me throw out hot. It's the perfect weather at the beach with a cold drink.
Beach.
Wow. I'm impressed. I thought you really are who you say you are. All right. Reading or writing?
Reading or writing? I'm such an avid reader. I'm
Yeah,
gonna
for
go
those
with
of you,
go with writing. I'm gonna go with writing.
Oh, wow. So, guys, for those of you who are listening on audio, I wish you could see our face. All right, number seven, the final question in our Inside Your Mind feature. I had to go there, Julie. Calm or a little chaos?
Calm.
You know, it's funny when I was thinking about this question, I was thinking, I'm like, some of my favorite moments are when there's a little chaos. But also, some of my favorite moments are when I'm in utter calmness. And so I was struggling to answer this question myself. So I can't wait to go.
Can I ask you one back?
Yeah, sure.
So, if some of your favorite moments are when there was a little chaos, is it because you made powerful choices? So you had a sense of mastery and agency, and then you got to a place of calm?
Yeah, well, so I grew up on a farm and with extraordinary discipline all around because it was necessary to yield crops. And I like control. A lack of control meant that, you may not eat. And
Right.
so I've spent years and years thinking about, that balance between having a little chaos that disrupts me. And so I've worked hard on it to a point where I do allow a little chaos sometimes when I travel. Like I have to have a particular plan, but I do allow room for a little chaos. And like one trip to Japan with on my way from Kyoto to Tokyo, the idea that I didn't have the full plan was chaotic for me,
I think it depends what your definition of chaos is. And
Okay.
then it also depends on how flexible you are with your nervous system
Okay.
and
All
how good
right.
your toolbox is to calm yourself down.
Got it. All right. So before we, maybe that'd be the perfect segue, but I do have to say thank you for allowing us to go inside your mind. So my first question to you is, how do you define chaos?
Okay, so no one's ever asked me that. And it's the tagline on both of my books. hello, good morning. To me, chaos is when things are so sideways that you start falling out of your window of tolerance and you really need to grab a hold of yourself to calm your nervous system. You
Okay.
know, you've just gotten a bad diagnosis for yourself or a loved one. Somebody has a car crash. You're whatever in the hospital. You get fired from your job, like the big life events, right? You find out your spouse is cheating. Whatever it is that you get that feeling in your body. Where like, oh my God, I'm gonna have a heart attack, or I can't breathe, or you start panicking, or you're just swamped with grief, or whatever it is. All of those things to me are chaos, and that's when I really need to regulate my nervous system and to pull myself back in from the edge and to ground myself. And that's what SNAP does.
Nice. Well, I have to say, it's funny because I always love reading Snap quotes. I enjoy, what is it called on the cover of books? They call it shout quotes. And, the people who endorse it kind of with a
Oh, the
quote or so
blurbs.
forth. Yeah,
Yeah.
the blurbs of influential people, etc. I really enjoy those. And I think I held the same sort of sentiment that. Every so often, someone will come up with a phrase or a concept or a model that just really makes sense. So your title of your book, SNAP, Chaos to Calm. And SNAP is an acronym for soothing touch, name of emotion, act, and praise. When did this come to you? Were you on a walk? You know, when did this come to you?
It was during COVID.
Oh,
So
wow.
many things happened during the lockdown with creative people all over the globe. And I had been teaching mindful self-compassion, the curriculum, and then adapted it since 2014. I think I adapted it in 2015 to add other curriculum to it. And I had been teaching this acronym called RAIN, which I talk about in my first book, Recognize, Allow, Investigate, Not Identify. And it's a system for managing your nervous system. But I was adapting it while I was teaching it because I wanted soothing touch. I wanted that mammalian caregiver response, brain science. I wanted that oxytocin and endorphins first. So I had been front loading it. So while I was teaching it, I was adapting it. And then it hit me one morning. That acronym is from the 1980s. It needs an update. And why not it be me? So I came up with Snap because I thought it was really snappy. And I tried it out on my mentors and my teachers, and everybody liked it. And then I started teaching it, and people could do it. And then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna put this out in a book to try to like push it out further. And
I love it.
actually, my favorite brain science guy, Rick Hansen, who's my mentor, helped me because I taught him Snap. And when I got to P, I had it as proceed with self-compassion, and he said, "What about praise?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, that's why you're my mentor. That's, like, because that praise means it's bespoke. It means different things to different people, and it's perfect for that because it flows into the gratitude practice."
When was the last time you needed to snap yourself into a better place and out of a bad place?
Last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you open to telling us a little bit about it?
My daughter was having a mental health crisis. She was in a stabilization facility. They had to take her to the emergency room because she had horrible stomach pain. We met her at the emergency room, and it was an emergency room in a location that I wouldn't have chosen, but that's where they took her because it was near where she was. She had raging pancreatitis and gallstones. They admitted her to this hospital where I didn't want her to be, but her insurance company informed me from three different people from call centers that once you're at a hospital, insurance won't cover you moving. So we were at this hospital Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, finally got her home, saw her doctor and a surgeon on Tuesday, and then this week, 3 days ago on Tuesday, she had gallbladder surgery to remove the gallbladder, and she's upstairs recovering in my house. So, I have been snapping my ass off.
And maybe that's actually part of it. It's like, one of the things I've been studying recently is some of the behaviors, like when a mother scolds a child, how universal that is in hundreds of culture around the world,
Sure.
and how these are really universal and should be expected. The same way we blink, we need to snap. It's part of, we're wired in a way that a snap should be taught from a young child. I remember when, as a kid, Julie, my grandmother told me, if I don't learn how to snap out of my emotion, this was literally, I was probably 5 years old.
Wow.
He looked at me and grabbed me, said, if you don't learn how to snap out of stuff, and like really move quickly out of stuff, like you're gonna find yourself in prison when you get older.
Wow.
And I remember this. She was just looked at me. She was like, you gotta snap out of it. And I think that's why I love this so much. When this came across my desk as a potential interview, I was like, this is every so often people come up when I'm like, why didn't I think of this?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I really do. And when I teach SNAP, I did modern dance for 20 years. So when you said singer dance, I was like, ah,
I see, I
because my
see.
feet, my big toe joints don't bend without pain now. So anyway, I teach SNAP with dance moves. It's neuro-linguistic programming that I learned from a book. So I
Sure.
teach it. I teach people to snap, and then we do a soothing touch, but I teach them soothing touch first so they know, is it their biceps that make them feel good, or is it cradling their face, or is it having their hands on their chest or their belly or one of each, or is it just nestling one hand in the other? Anyway, so soothing touch, and then we do name the emotion, and then we say act with our arms out and praise. And the act is, what do I need to hear right now? And you say it to yourself, Julie, sweetheart, you're actually safe. You're going to get through this. And if you can call yourself a term of endearment, even if it makes you laugh, that's good. And then the second thing is, what do I want to do right now to shift my mood? And that is your power.
Yeah.
Like, that's your toolbox. So at the
What
beginning,
do I want to do right now? That's a powerful question to yourself, right?
to shift your mood. So like, if you're driving in your car, you're not going to be able to take a bath, but you might be able to call a friend or put on your favorite Pandora station or song, or you might be able to do some breath work. You might be able to ground yourself through the butt in your chair. Like, there's going to be 35 or 40 things when you free associate your joy list. Which I hope everybody listening will just take a piece of paper and a pen when we're done with this interview and just write a joy list. And then that's going to make up the content of your toolbox for the A and SNAP. What do I want to do right now to shift my mood? Do I want to walk outside? You know, what is
Yes.
it? What is it?
Yes. Yeah.
That's your power. Don't give up your power.
I think about the people that I come across often in my work where they are torn between snapping out of a space of anger and allowing it to sit in them and leave organically. What would you say to them, people who sit with something for over a week and they allow it to transition? They're like, I don't want to snap out
Ouchies.
of it.
Ouch. A week? I don't
Oh,
know.
3 days, 2 days, a day. What would you
Okay,
say to
so
them?
here's the thing. There's two schools of thought here. One school of thought is you need to feel your feelings and process them and release them, or you're spiritually bypassing. That's one school of thought. And I believe that school of thought. But then the question is, how long do you need to feel them? So, when I was first starting in this genre, let's say, I would show up at those like one day seminars, you know, Tara Brach, Jack Kornfield, you know, the big people in the industry. And I would say, how long do you have to feel like shit before you take control of yourself and move yourself to feeling better? And everybody answered, not too long. So, and it's my common sense that I don't want, like, if I want to feel bad for a half hour or an hour, and I say, okay, I'll feel this for an hour, and then I'm gonna choose to get in the swimming pool and put on, you know, hits of the 80s and dance my ass off deep end to feel better, because I want some endorphins, and I want some sunshine, and I want to feel the music, and I want to move my body. And you know, I don't want to feel, I don't want to be in anger or grief or whatever, because I want to wire in positive bridges in my brain. What wires together fires together, right? So if you're having a good mood and you enrich it and absorb it, even for a dozen seconds, I know you know this, but if somebody's just listening to this and they haven't heard your podcast before, they might not have heard about experience-dependent neuroplasticity, which I am a teacher trainer of. So you want to feel good, let it land so that so that the state becomes a trait. You want to go state to trait. So it's like, that's a beautiful sunset. What's for dinner? No, that's a beautiful sunset. Wow. Look at those colors. And just feel the majesty for a minute. It's not a minute. You don't even need a minute. You need, oh, I don't know, a dozen seconds, maybe 14 seconds. And you're creating new neural networks because what wires together fires together. Those things build up over time, naturally pruning out the negative in your wandering mind, your default mode network, and you end up with a happier, more resilient brain. So if you've ever read Hardwiring Happiness or Buddha's Brain or Resilient from Rick Hansen, you'll get this, or even Neurodharma from Rick Hansen, you'll get this information over and over and over and over. Throughout his lifetime, he's been talking about taking in the good, and it works.
Yeah, these are ancient practices. I mean, yes, there's a lot of really wonderful teachings from the West. I've spent a lot of time in Asia, Africa, Latin America, and it's a universal thing from around the world. And I'm getting a lot of pushback, and I do have to ask you, from a lot of young professionals who are overwhelmed with stimuli. And I feel like people's tolerance levels are shifting. There's almost like an adaptive evolution with so many things that I thought were kind of should be kind of default parts of our personalities. But I feel like people are getting to anger quicker. I feel like people are being hijacked from their capacity to be able to control themselves. And for someone who's going, look, this is lovely. Yeah, exactly. Phones, technology, and so forth are hijacking us. And for those who are particularly easy to hijack, who feel like something like this, a concept like this, is not practical, what would you say to them?
Try it. The proof is in the pudding. Just try it. Start a meditation practice. Even if you think it's annoying, just choose a guided meditation, put your earbuds in and follow the voice. I don't recommend people practicing open awareness, like where they go and just have no prompts and they're just watching their monkey mind change channels. I don't recommend that for beginners. But just go to Insight Timer or Balanced Mind with me, Julie Podiker. That's free. There's hundreds of meditations on there. Each one has a poem at the end. Start a meditation practice, build your toolbox, learn how to do SNAP, and then see if your life isn't better. And your friends and family don't say to you, like, wow, you look better. You sound better. It seems like you're more calm. And then they're going to mirror your neurons, and you're going to show up better in the line at the grocery store and at TSA at the airport. And the whole kind of bar for humanity gets raised because you show up as a more integrated, resilient human. And then even when the storms of life hit you, your keel is sort of steady. You might get knocked down, you come back, like me last week. I didn't fall into a deep depression like I would have 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, I had to snap, and it's the soothing S and snap is so extraordinary powerful. If you think about people who have experienced a lot of trauma, who really struggle to kind of embrace themselves because there's almost like this kind of magnetic force between them and there's an energy force because they haven't healed. I like what you said just now, and I love the energy with you sh that you shared it, where you said you didn't become defensive, you just said try it. And I think that is the most powerful thing. I'd love to hear you speak on stage. I bet you audiences absolutely adore you because very few people I've seen, have command over their work, but are also generous and caring and giving in a way that they strike a balance. Do you enjoy speaking?
Thank you. Yeah, I do. I actually, 2 weekends ago, or maybe it was 3 weekends ago now, got flown to Indianapolis, Indiana, where I've never been, even though I grew up in Ohio.
Oh,
And I taught a workshop, a SNAP workshop for a big group of teachers. They were having an in-service day, so school was closed. And I was teaching the teachers how to regulate their emotions so that they would be calmer in the classroom because, hello, it helps
yeah.
the kids. So I love it. And you never know. Like last month, I taught a workshop for adults. You never know what's going to come up because it's the people asking the questions that prompts my response, and I'm going to tell the truth. And so each workshop is completely different, even though it's soothing touch, name the emotion, act, and praise. They're completely different depending on who's in front of me and what they're asking and what they need. And then the anecdotes from my life that I'm willing to share come out. And it makes it more like, oh, this woman actually has had suffering.
I was about to tell a story about when I had to snap out of something, but I realized I'm going to suspend that. I'm actually going to go and try this method. I'm going to try it myself instead of employing my old models. I'm actually going to try it myself and see where it takes me. I'm looking forward to this journey, and I really appreciate you making time. I want to give a shout out to your website, mindfulmethodsforlife.com. There are a lot of people can get the book there, the tools there as well, right?
Oh yeah, and the podcast. And if people want to pull down the reading and resource tab and at the toolbar at the top of the website, they'll see all my teachers' books and my teachers' websites, and even people who aren't my teachers but who wrote on this topic that did a really good job. It's like a resource library. So it doesn't matter where you get this information. It doesn't matter if you get it from me or you get it from somebody else, but I'm hoping that you get it and that you try it.
Awesome. Well, Julie, thank you so much for joining me on the Brain and Brand Show. We really, really wish you the best out there, okay?
I wish you the best too.